The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better, with you. My life, it's better, with you. This is true, it's better, with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother Mean Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest
this
brother.
This is untenable.
What up, Trav Nation? Vroom, vroom. It's me, your middleest brother, Travis Big Dog Wolf Wolf McElroy.
This is Griffin. Hi, Griffin. It sounds like you are trying to tell me a little secret.
I thought you were drunk.
You're drunk and trying to tell me a little drunk secret.
No. We're at like a family wedding kind of deal, and you're drunk and you're like,
here comes Uncle Justin.
Oh, he's going to tell us something about Aunt, you know, Josephine that everybody knows, but nobody talks about. And
yeah.
Here comes Justin to tell us about it.
I got a root canal, and this is the time that they could get me in because it's an emergency because my mouth hurts so bad.
Yeah.
And this is the time they could get me in, 11 o'clock. Okay.
Yes.
And uh-huh. That is a time that I have to, after that, do my brother me here.
Oh, so okay? that's where I start
and
to run.
And the thing is, Griffin, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This is the time I do my job. You know what I mean? Like, this is the time I do my job.
For sure.
And this is the time when the professionals.
I can't believe, Justin, that you would do your job and record my brother and me at the same time. That yeah. kind of split focus.
That's weird.
No, this is my job, Travis.
What? Yes.
This is my brother, is
so
my job.
So the thing is, and obviously there's nothing implicitly funny about making fun of the way someone talks. I want to say that out loud to acknowledge it. What I'm saying is that the time we record this show is and can be quite flexible. We're your brothers, and we love you, and we record this bad boy a good 5 days in advance. So
I love you too, man. Thank you so much.
It feels to me like you were almost – you sent us a video from the car like, I'm fucked up. Let's do this, baby.
It almost seemed like you wanted to see what happens.
On the job aspect of it, like if you were a pitcher – and you had just gotten some kind of thing done to your arm that made your arm numb.
Yeah.
And you're like, put me in, coach. I'm ready to pitch.
Or if you were a podcaster and you accidentally glued a kazoo into your mouth, and then you were like,
okay, but
our podcast
different.
Doesn't go up for 5 days. I got this kazoo in my mouth. We got to roll, baby.
If Wade Boggs pounds too many brewskis the night before, and then the next morning
he calls it getting bogged down, please.
Yeah.
And then next morning he's got to go out and hit home runs. Okay?
Yeah.
That's when he does his job. Do you understand? Yeah. 11:30 on Wednesdays is when I do my job.
It's 12:15.
I had it a little late because of my root canal. I don't know if you heard, Trav.
I heard and continue to hear your every
word.
It
helped me up a little bit because he was drilling into my tooth.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Hopefully a dentist, right?
Tomorrow, Friday, juice for me, wide open, pal. I'm saying this baseball game can play anytime we want.
But the only reason to reschedule, there's only one reason, is if I can't do my job at the time I'm supposed to do my job. And Griffin, it's time to go to work. It's time
to
go to work.
Trying to make like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I didn't have to work right now, I'd do what I always do when I'm not working. I go to my kids' school and I pull them out. I say, I can teach them more than you people ever could. If I didn't have to do my job, I'd do my other job, take my kids out of school, and teach them everything they need to know.
Justin, I'm worried
my kids are in school. That means I'm doing my job right now.
Right.
So I'm worried that the numbing has moved beyond your like lip and mouth to like your brain. Are you
to
okay?
To parts of your brain that exercise restraint.
Okay. I mean, it was not the most pleasant experience.
So, right? Like, any
dude, yeah.
I guess I'm feeling a little shaken up, you know?
Okay, but I didn't, I also didn't Skype you guys into my vasectomy, right? Like,
no matter how much we asked.
I didn't make you a part of that.
I think the difference is for the shows that you missed because of your vasectomy.
Right.
This is when I...
No. Don't say that to end that sentence. That ending doesn't end that sentence. You can't say because of the time you took off for your vasectomy, this is when I do my job.
We only have so many.
I'll say it. That was the choice that you made for you, right? You used your sick days.
The choice
on
I
that.
Made for me was to record
you used
the episodes.
Your sick days on that.
If I may, it was to record the episodes of the podcast that I would have done during vasectomy time at a different time. Do you know what I mean? That was the choice I made, and you have made a different one today.
Okay. Yeah, but I had when I left the tooth doctor, my tooth doctor, Dr. Chomp, he said to me, Justin,
hold on, what?
Make him laugh today. Will you go out there? And I did my job.
And then he took
I,
a
Justin?
Big huff off of the nitrous that he had.
Yeah.
And he was like, you go out there, you did the same thing for them.
Yeah, he said, Justin, I got to be honest with you, I'm feeling kind of low. And I was like, I hate to hear that, Dr. Chomp. And he said, I promised me, like, I did my job, right? And I was like, yeah, you did.
And he
Dr.
said,
Chomp.
this is when I do my job, is what he said.
He said, well, no, because he had already done it at this point. He had lit his cigarette.
Just now was when I do my
job.
So
he had lit up in the office, and he had been like, that was when I did my job.
He's ripping. Hold on. This dentist was ripping darts in his own office.
I don't know if it's a dentist or not because my dentist won't do the root canal. So I don't know if this guy's like a different
won't
guy.
Are they afraid of it?
It was cosmetic. It was a cosmetic root canal.
Yeah.
I was having some neon
elective.
Put in there.
Yeah. Well, you had ugly roots before. I think we can all
you
agree.
You got to get your roots done.
Your gnarled tooth roots.
Do you think there's ever roots. A time when, like, Dr. Chomp goes to, like, the therapist and he's like, and my tooth hurts so bad I can't laugh. And the therapist's like, well, you got to go see this amazing dentist. His name is Dr. Chomp. And he says, but doctor, that's the problem.
But doctor,
I am Dr. Chomp.
Dr. Chomp. I mean, that's haunting, Trav, just to hear you
Well, because
it
has to keep going up, right? Because if you're the clown Pagliacci making the dentist laugh. Okay, cool. Now, who's taking care of the dentist's teeth? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who tooth doctors the tooth doctorsman? You know?
It's really draft killer point, man, as
Thank
always.
You. We don't
killer.
Think about this, but life is about community. It takes a village to take care of teeth.
It takes a village.
Trav, do you want to speak on this? I see at the top of here a Groundhog's Day update / clarification. Is this a question or is this
breaking news? A lot about Groundhog's Day a couple weeks ago, roundabout Groundhog's Day. We got an update from Alexis who lives in Punxsutawney. First of all, telling us that the people of Punxsutawney, by and large, dislike Groundhog's Day because of the huge flux of groundhog heads who come in and just fill up and take advantage of the city's small infrastructure. But
did you say they take advantage or did you say they hog it? Because I'd say they... Oh, man.
But Alexis also shared, there are some very weird things about the holiday that I think you'd enjoy, such as the inner circle... Phil's closest group of pals who make sure he gets the elixir of life every year so he can continue making his predictions. Also, to answer Teresa's question, because we talked about it on Shriners too, the inner circle doesn't have to guess if Phil sees his shadow. They ask him directly in Groundhog Ease, which only the president of the inner circle can understand. Phil and Phyllis have also recently become parents to two little groundhogs, Sunny and Shadow.
I don't need to know about the groundhog's family. Everything else you said kicks ass.
Well, as far as I know, only Phil and Phyllis get the elixir of life.
Okay. It's nice that they give them to both of them, and it's not just Phil or Phyllis who then have to watch as spouse after spouse.
Oh, you should listen to the musical on TikTok about this exact subject because it is heart-wrenching. Listen, Alexis, I do have to quibble with one thing. Everyone hates, in Punxsutawney, hates that everybody comes in to, like, see the groundhog and do all the groundhog stuff, and then you're like, psst, 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 come close, though. It is actually so cool and actually cooler than anybody knows about. Like, why are you trying to make it more appealing? Now yeah. I definitely want to come and see this crazy inner circle and everything.
Yeah, I don't know what the nightlife scene is in Punxsutawney, but I bet if you're in Phil's inner circle, you own that town.
You run that shit. You will never buy your own weed if you're part of the inner circle. No way. Someone's got you.
How do you think you learn Groundhog Ease? You know, you got to reach a higher plane.
That would be cool if this person, this elected official, I guess, did have a sort of cult of personality about them. Like, yeah, man, one day I ascended the mountaintop. I claimed the great power within, and now I can speak to groundhogs. So. Oh.
But you know that every time that happens, like, that elected official knows that, like, he is still living in the, let's call it what it is, shadow of a great man that, like, he's high up there and he's wielding the power, but he is the right hand to the true king.
To the real, to the real.
The groundhog. King. There must be a moment when that elected official goes to pull Phil out of whatever hutch they keep him in so that he doesn't.
I don't think escape. They yank. Do they yank him?
They freeze him, I think. I think they freeze
between?
Him. Between the days, because they've had the same guy going
for a long time.
That's the elixir of life.
The elixir of life keeps him eternal. But there must be a moment when he goes to pull him out where he thinks, like, this bastard. I could, he's gonna take all the limelight from me. Yeah. But I need him. Oh, but I wish I didn't need him. I'm so jealous and I love him so much at the same time.
That's the thing, because he can speak groundhoggies, the elected groundhog conduit knows that Punxsutawney Phil is a real shithead, a real problematic fave, and he wants nothing more than to throw him right on the ground anytime he pulls him out.
But no one would believe him.
If you guys understood some of the shit that Punxsutawney, they pull him out of that hole and he immediately starts screaming just the worst stuff you've ever heard or imagined.
Griffin, you took 3 years of groundhoggies in high school, right? Would you say you're fluent?
I took 3 years in high school, and I took one double credit AP class in college, which they don't usually offer those. And so, yeah, I mean, I can speak. I can read it, but I can't speak it, which sucks because they definitely can't write.
Yeah, if you found yourself, like, if you woke up right now in the middle of, like, a groundhog complex of tunnels, you think you could find your way out?
I get out of it. Yeah, yeah.
You're with Wayne Barber.
You got to hand it to us, right? A lot of shows don't have the guts to go on a full protracted groundhog run a full calendar month after Groundhog Day has passed. But you can't come to us here in March. We are still going to be on about groundhogs.
That's the thing. Christmas has a long lead up, but Groundhog Day has a long tail. You know what I mean?
Ironic.
You got to remember it.
Maybe if we brought him up a bit more, there'd be a bit of accountability.
Yeah.
Maybe if we remembered him in April and we're like, huh, this is weird. This doesn't exactly line up with what you were talking about. Let's check in May. What do you think, Phil?
Or why don't we let him predict other things?
Yes, please, you know what I mean? God.
Why are we just asking him about that one time a year, like, is there going to be more winter or not, right? Like, we all agree on his prognostication abilities, and yet we're not asking him about global markets. We're not asking him about, anything related to, like, hey, what's the future look like? Do we need to get on this problem? How are we working? And he's just, like, asking about winter, boys.
Justin is just looking more and more impressed with how much meat we've carved off this
in March.
Old stinky bone.
In March. You know, let's do a question just for old time's sake. Long time transgender listener, first time question asker. I'm going to be on testosterone soon and plan on doing a weekly vlog where I talk about the changes happening in my body. One I'm really looking forward to is my voice lowering. Here's my conundrum. I want a cool sentence to be able to say each week to measure how my voice changes. I thought about doing a sentence every phoneme, like the sound. It's like the sound.
Yes.
But they all sound lame. So I'm coming to the coolest men I know about. I just need a cool sentence. Preferably with lots of sounds. That's from trying to be a cool cat in Kentucky.
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog?
Yeah, but that doesn't sound cool.
That's typewriter.
Oh, yeah, because that has every letter in it.
Yeah.
That doesn't
What's
help
one
me?
With a lot of sounds?
That well, sounds you know cool. what, Trav? Let me tell you. Let me see if I can find one real quick. Hold on.
A lot of vowels would have to be in there, right? Like, oh, man. the beans fell on my foot. Ow.
Okay.
Hey, man, the beans fell on my foot. There's
Are
a lot
those
of really
your
good
beans
stuff
to- or our beans? Does that have to be just one sentence? Could it be a complex short story about beans and the ownership of them?
Maybe. Are you good, Juice?
He's Googling phonemes.
I told you guys what I was doing, so I thought we would wait for a second. I was trying to look up a sentence that has all of the
and leave dead air
in it. What?
And leave dead air?
I said that I was doing it, and you guys continued to.
It's just usually like, when we set up a bit as a question, we joke about the answer instead of
we
saying,
"We don't do intense
got it.
Research.
Let me get on Encarta."
They talked about how they were. They said the sentences were not cool, so I was curious what the sentences were and what we had to do better then.
Well, then maybe we're coming at this from the wrong direction. Maybe we should start
it
with
it feels that way.
We should start with a cool sentence and then add sounds to it.
Add sounds to it. Make it
okay.
funny in a funny way. Don't car forget time. What Dr. Chomp
said. Car time, dude. That's ah, I, ooh. I.
We can throw in it's car time. It's car time.
It's car
time, baby dude.
Yeah. Baby dude,
little man. Baby dude.
It are I'm little man. Little man. And
baby man.
Call our time man. That's it, I think.
No, yeah, I think we're getting hung up on vowel sounds.
Yeah. Those are some of them, though. That I mean, some like, of I know. Them.
It's we're getting into some pretty. We're getting into some pretty experimental audio right now.
Man,
and I'm
if we
here
only
for
had
it.
A reference point, you know what I mean? If only we had a reference point for
it's
what we had
time,
to.
It's car time, baby man. Boot that shit up.
Boot that baby.
Boot that boot nasty. It. Boot that nasty trunk.
Trunk.
Dundo.
Between this and our naming of the year episodes, this has been our most sort of gruntable season of My Brother, My Brother and Me so far.
I think maybe just the opening line from Tool Time might where I'm like, it's Tool Time with Tim and Al.
It's Tool Time.
It's Tool
You know
what'd
be great is you could learn every part of an a cappella song maybe by like the Brown Derbies or something like that. You could do Joel's fucking Downeaster Alexa if you so choose. And you learn every part and you start with whichever one feels more comfortable, and then you'll hit these thresholds where it's like, okay, here I go. Down. Oh, nope. It's time to move down a level. And then all of a sudden,
you just gradually harmonize with yourself.
Oh,
over
and
time.
Yeah. Then you can layer them together later.
You alto that. Yes. And then when you come in, I mean, I don't know how deep it can possibly go, but I've heard some pretty deep voices in my time. You could get that good baby back ribs.
Oh, Griffin.
Baby back ribs is good.
I want my baby back. Because that gets, like, lower, and I feel like you could kind of test the bounds a little bit. Like, you start here,
definitely.
Like, hey, Chili's, baby back ribs, and then you go, like, barbecue sauce. Like, you bring it down. Pick it how low you can go.
But I said learn every part of an a cappella song. The first one in my mind was not the Chili's baby back ribs.
That's the only one.
It's one everyone
All other
knows,
ones
I
are
guess.
just kind of iterations on that theme.
Go goodbye, my Coney Island baby. That's one. That it's that That's one and one. Baby Big Babes.
I'm trying Those to think of like really ones. Cool, like hard ass lines from movies.
An a cappella song? Unfortunately, I've
well that's Pitch there Perfect. Something one. From Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
It's the only a cappella movie I can think of.
What's Trav? What do you think is like a cool movie?
like what's a cool movie?
Yeah, I can just see it.
I'm just a dog
cool.
chasing cars. Is it yeah, good one? Do you want to see a magic is... trick?
But he's not like notably like low voiced, right? Like I think you, it's like maybe like a Ving. That's just pride fucking with you. Maybe you get some like something like that. Some Ving Rhames or
Clancy Brown.
Who's like a notably low voice?
Clancy Brown has a deep.
Oh, Clancy Brown. What's some of your favorite Cortex lines from the Crash Bandicoot games?
Oh, that's a good question. How do you choose?
Definitely the one I have tattooed across my chest. Crash Bandicoot, set that wump of fruit down. I'm so disappointed in you.
That's a good one.
There's a lot of sounds in there.
Yeah. Have you seen that? That might be it. Crash Bandicoot set That Wumpa fruit isn't one of them. Down.
I'm very disappointed in you.
I'm very disappointed in you. Maybe it's a threat, and you want to see, it's not just the timbre, it's not just the pitch of the voice that is changing, the amount of sort of intense energy you're able to
imply
bring to
threat.
Yeah. That's a good one from Tombstone. Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody walked over your grave.
It's
a good
that's
Tombstone is always the greatest repository for, like, I mean,
smoke that, what is it, skin that smoke wagon is another good one.
Skin that smoke wagon, yeah.
Whoa.
So it's, I don't know, maybe the most befuddling way to tell someone to draw their gun that you could ever do. Like, I
dude,
think if you,
yeah, because I didn't put that together until you said that. If I was in a Wild West duel with the guy, with Val Kilmer, and he said that, I would be like, what? I would look around for the smoke wagon. What do you mean, dude?
What do you mean?
I got it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bow, bow, bow.
That's so good.
It's the funnest thing to do with your mouth, basically. And you could do it at the beginning and end of every episode. And if you ran out of things to say in the middle, you could just, like, bust it out, and everybody would be pretty excited again to hear it, I think.
I like that. That's a good one.
Ferris Bueller Day Off. Always. Always.
Oh, is that what that is?
It was Travis, actually. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You could get the guy from that song as a guest on your first episode.
Crash Test Dummies?
Was it Crash Test Dummies who did the...
No, I thought you were just talking... He's like a really low-voice guy. I just thought you were talking about Crash Test Dummies out of nowhere. Oh, I mean, that was like really random.
It was this girl.
Am I losing my mind, or have we done a contest on this very show to see which of the three of us can get the lowest on baby back?
Griffin, this episode 752. We've done everything before.
I've done all
It's not
shows.
About finding new things. It's about how do we revisit the questions we've already answered for ourselves, you know?
Yeah. That's beautiful. It's meditative. It's beautiful, meditative, and a kind
the questions
of
can change. The questions are the same as the answers that get different.
Are you saying we could
It seems
just
like you'd want it to be the other way around.
It would make more grammatically and, like, from an oratorical perspective, it would be more satisfying to put it that way. But no, I don't think it works that way. I recently started a new job, and within my first 2 weeks, several people there had birthdays. They're apparently a big birthday office and always bring in donuts to celebrate. I personally love donuts, but never ate any that were brought in because I felt anxious of the new job, and nothing makes me more uncomfortable than eating in front of strangers. Fortunately, about a week later, my birthday came around. I showed up to work expecting to be greeted with donuts, but found they had got me a coffee instead. My new coworkers proudly told me they had noticed I don't like donuts. Sorry, I missed a line here. Noticed I didn't like donuts and very thoughtfully got me a coffee instead. It was so kind of them, and they were so excited to have gotten me something that I liked that I didn't want to correct them, and I just played along. Now I'm getting more comfortable around them, and they brought in more donuts today. I want to eat one, but I didn't know how to break it to them that I actually do like donuts. Brothers, how can I start eating donuts at work without seeming like I lied about being a donut hater? That's from Donut Lover's Dilemma. And man, this one doesn't feel like any fault of your own. A lot of times people come to us and we can tell them they've already messed up. Yeah. I don't, this wasn't a mess up. Like, this seems like an actual, people found like an actual new problem. This is not one that I've heard about before.
This is original.
This is original. Good job.
I think that there's a way to use this to actually be a beneficial in this situation. So? You're going to tell them the next time there's donuts, you're going to say, can I be honest, guys? I guess it's just that I've never tried donuts before.
Okay. I'm too scared.
Oh, okay.
I haven't had the right group of people to help me get through that journey. But if you guys want to do a little team building right now.
I just don't know where to start with donuts. And then they're going to be so excited to share donuts with you. You're probably going to get more donuts than if you had just started eating donuts to begin with. Because then you can have one donut and be like, I've been missing out my whole life. I could have been having this.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be so excited to share donuts with you.
Yeah, and you'll get to eat like 100 donuts. You'll be living good. Can you walk into the kitchen where the donuts are and pick one up and be like, oh, sweet, whole buns. And people are like, what? And you say, these are hole buns, the buns with holes in them.
One of my favorite foods.
Bun holes, one of my favorite foods. And they're like, that's donuts. And you say, this is donuts? I like this. I like these. I thought these were hole buns. You're saying these are donuts? I like those a lot, actually.
Maybe you could go to someone the next time there's donuts and say, I was just curious who I paid the money to join your donut club. Then I'm assuming there's some sort of donut. I was never invited, but I would really like to get into donut club. So if I could sign up somewhere or something like that to get in on donut club.
Or like, so how much is it to eat a donut? I haven't had any cash with me.
Try to buy one?
Yeah.
I finally remembered to bring money on donut day. I have $3.
Is
that enough for a donut?
Do you take Apple Pay?
Make you the boss.
You do Apple Pay for donut?
I can Venmo. I set it up today.
I have $2. Can you cut one in half?
What do you go for? What do you go for to give the appearance of your first donut? Because the easy sell is you walk in and be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try eating a donut. And you walk over. Do you go with one that has like fucking
What if you maybe you try an eclair. And you're like, you know what? I liked this so much. Maybe I've been wrong about donuts this whole time. Like, I'm going to give donuts another shot because I tried the eclair that you guys brought in and I actually like this. And if donuts are anything like eclairs, I think I could really get into it.
Here's the problem, though, J-Man. I think if you take a bite, you've never had donuts before in this kayfabe, right? And you take a bite of an eclair and you don't act at least a little shocked that there's something inside of it, that you're like, they didn't fully cook this one. It's raw in the middle. Look at it gooping out. You gotta. Yeah. I think you'd have to play it up big to be surprised that there's stuff inside it.
Yeah.
Pick up a powdered. For them to buy the story.
Pick up a powdered sugar donut, and by the end of it, be a mess. Be an absolute mess.
Start coughing a lot.
And they'll be like, that has to be the first time that they have eaten a powdered donut. Because there's some tech to it that you do need to practice.
Pick up a powdered donut and ask them for a wet nap to clean it off so you can eat it. This one's all dusty. Yeah. This one's all dusty. I think it's really old. Can we clean this donut off so I could try this one?
This donut's covered in small, colorful pills. And I don't know why I'd eat that. It seems like it would make me pretty sick. They're sprinkles. Okay.
Okay. I'm fired? Okay. Yeah, I get it.
I am fired.
Yeah. Tracks. This is a donut factory? Okay, cool. Thank you.
Before we go to the money zone, can we talk about some recent communique we received from our father, Clint McElroy? A recent text message.
Yeah.
Dad, my daddy's a gamer.
Maybe
only just Elden Ring for the past 3 years or however long that game's been out. But he's a real gamer. He has all the video game consoles. And Sunday night, he texts the three of us and says, do any of you know why this keeps happening to my Xbox?
Can I pause real quick, Griffin, before you keep going? You have to know context-wise, we get texts like this about things related to computers and his tech setup constantly. This was intentional and sincere.
Yeah, this wasn't. Our dad is not pulling punks on us. This is a real thing that happened. Are you pulling it out?
I think that if I have, hold on, I'm going to see if I can, for posterity's sake.
Yeah. So exact wording here. This keeps happening to my Xbox. Any ideas? And then the image that he did also send to us is the welcome splash screen for the PlayStation 5. It says at the top of the screen, welcome back to PlayStation 5. It does say that on the screen.
And then dad sends that image and it says, this keeps happening to my Xbox. Any ideas?
And even there's nothing clearly indicated outside the fact that it's PlayStation on Xbox that he could be talking about what's wrong.
Yeah.
Just the issue is not immediately apparent.
Yeah. What advice did he think we could give about your Xbox showing PlayStation shit?
How close is your Xbox to your PlayStation, man? It might be bleeding over.
Plug
some
your phone.
Cross-contamination might be happening here.
Plug your phone into the Xbox. We will integrate with the systems, and we're going to patch through an update that should get you taken care of.
We're going to need to get you a little reboot guy in there, and he's going to take care of this right now.
Be a great prank to play on one of your Sony crony friends.
Yeah.
Or one of
like
these
you boot it up, and it's like, oh, my God. And you rush to cover the screen like, oh, no, no one looked.
I would never. But all your Sony crony buddies are there. They're kicking your ass. It's too late. They're already beating your ass into the ground.
I should have followed up on this to see if Dad ever figured out what the problem was. But we just kind of razzed on him and didn't ask what he meant. So I should have followed up.
What if it turns out that this was his Xbox and that's why he's so reasonably perplexed by this
he's
question.
Scared.
And we were like, no, you stupid dumb shit. And he's like, okay, then I don't know.
This is the same guy that restarted Elden Ring like 4 times because it would just mysteriously like get deleted. It's untenable.
I understand struggling with tech stuff as you get older. It's already happening to me. There's some tech stuff that I'm like, I don't get it. But it is 2025. I feel like everyone should have gotten the net about the input function of the TV remote control. We have so many buttons on there that give you instantaneous access to TV channels. No one uses fucking any of those anymore. They use one button that makes it switch between all their other shit that they... So input button, that's got to be on the freshman level curriculum, I feel like. Yeah,
I absolutely agree, Griffin. Hard agree.
Only button that matters.
Hey, let's take a brief break. And then when we come back, we will do more of this. How's that sound?
More of the same.
But different.
Oh!
And more.
And more.
It's better with you. You know, everybody, I'm ready to admit, this has been hard for me, and I'm just ready to admit it. I need glasses or some sort of corrective lenses to see.
Wow, Trav. So bold, dude.
Yeah, people see me in glasses and they think, what a cool, stylish, fashionable person. But it's not.
Griffin walked out of the
room. He walked out when I said
so embarrassed.
Yeah, when I said I have to wear glasses. And he was like, my brother, a nerd? And he walked out. But I've been able to hide it all these years because when people see me wearing glasses, they're like, so stylish, so fabulous. It must be that he is a stylish and fashionable person and not just someone whose eyes are shaped wrong and his cones and rods are all messed up. But that's what it is. But thanks to Warby Parker, I can fix my vision and look good doing it because Warby Parker designs every frame in-house and their collection includes silhouettes, colors, and fits made to suit every face, even my big old noggin. And you can shop them online, at home, in stores, at over 250 retail locations across the U.S. and Canada. Warby Parker glasses start at just $95 and include prescription lenses with anti-reflective, scratch-resistant coatings.
Are we talking about Warby Parker?
We are.
Griffin.
I fucking love these guys. Yeah. Wearing them now.
These glasses look so slick. It almost makes me wish I didn't have perfect vision.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. It's not perfect, just different vision.
Yeah. Me and Travis didn't choose to have different vision and then record the podcast. Do you know what I mean?
So this is a choice? You think I had a wisdom root canal for fun?
And recorded a podcast after. Yes, that's the choice part.
That's the part where
The thing you're missing, though, this is when I do my job, okay? I'm at work right now, okay?
Do you want me to get started with Warby Parker's virtual try-on. You can try on glasses and sunglasses, seeing the realistic color, texture, and size of each style right from home, right now. Or head over to warbyparker.com/mybrother right now to take the home try-on quiz and pick 5 pairs of frames to try on at home for free. That's warbyparker.com/mybrother. warbyparker.com/mybrother.
Justin, tell me about stamps. I'm old enough. I can handle it.
You're ready for the truth? Well, I'm sorry, Travis, but the mailman has not been taking the envelopes where I ask him to because he likes me so much. It's because I've been putting stamps on them.
What?
I've been cheating the system. I've been slipping him these little pieces of paper, and in exchange, he will take the letter wherever I want to go. But
it's a life hack. I see.
Cool.
I know, but I have found a way to make it even easier. I used to have to go to the post office or Big Bear to buy these things, but now I'm getting them at stamps.com. They handle all my shipping needs for me, Trav. They got USPS, UPS, and big savings, man, like up to 88% off. How's that grab you?
So I don't have to go to the Post Malone office just to get stamps anymore?
No. No, you don't. You can just get them on the internet. But they'll send you a scale. Post Malone office?
That's Where are you going?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I say his full name.
That's a
singer. I don't know him personally, so just calling him by his first name feels weird, so I like to use his full name, Post Malone.
What do you guys
office.
Think Post Malone's office looks like? What? How do you think he's decorated it?
I'll tell you, if they're anything like his Oreos, it's a fucking delicious
fucking
office.
Well done. Hey, Mr. Malone.
Well done, Posty.
Well done.
Well done on your Oreos, Posty. We all had them backstage.
I didn't. I was sick, but
Travis was sick, but I've had them, and they're good. You did a good job.
I was sick, too, and the Post Malone Oreos made
they didn't
my
pay
health
for this.
Better.
They didn't pay for this. No, you want to ship Post Malone Oreos? You can. You can ship whatever you want. You can do it for up to 88% off. Sign up at stamps.com and use the code MYBROTHER for a special offer. That includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com. Use the code MYBROTHER.
Howdy there. So sorry to interrupt whatever amazing show you were listening to, but it's time for an ad. I'll be so quick and get you back to your show. Don't worry. I'm host Austin, one half of a podcast called Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries that I make with my good friend Brenda. We talk about the pop culture stuff you like Thundercats and Yu-Gi-Oh! Did you know that the Thundercats are cousins with Farrah Fawcett? Or that Yu-Gi-Oh! Once caused a riot? You probably want to know more. You can find us at Maximum Fun or wherever you get podcasts every single Tuesday.
The Wizard's Answer, 8x8. The Conclave's call to demonstrate their arcane gift, their single spell. They number 64 until a conflagration. 63 and 62 they soon shall be, as one by one the wizards die. Till one remains to reign on high.
Join us for Taz Royale, an Oops All Wizards Battle Royale season of the Adventure Zone, every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You really put some stank on that one, man.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I want a munch.
Squad.
Squad.
Do, 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 do. I want to munch. Squad. Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast of the podcast. That's how the Beatles sound.
Oh,
okay. I was about to say the Munch Squad intro is, I think, a good thing to do to like test out lower, newer voices. It has a lot of really cool stuff that you can
do. It covers 8 octaves.
This is a different kind of one than what we would normally do, because it's normally we're profiling the sort of the movers and shakers in the fast food industry.
Right.
And today I learned something a few weeks ago. It's been going around in my head a lot. Ever since I saw this factoid being reported by my friend Fishboy on TikTok.
Okay, hit us with a big munch.
You ready?
Yeah.
Ringo Starr's never had pizza.
Wait. According to who?
Ringo Starr, talking to Jimmy Kimmel, said, with pizza, you don't know what you're putting in it half the time. He said he's never had a pizza.
Those two thoughts existing in the same head is, I've never had pizza, and also, you can't trust what people are putting in pizza these days. Those two thoughts seem insane to be held together in a marriage, in a union.
This is where I feel like I want to be. He says about food sensitivities. So I understand that, and I feel like if any podcast has been at the forefront Yeah. Of food insensitivity acceptance. It is my brother, and me. This is an absolute safe place for people with food intolerance.
Yeah. Did you see how he didn't do the tummy buddy time motto? Yeah. That was
this
for
is
that exact
a perfectly
reason.
Safe space. But so he says it's about onions and garlic and other spices that he's allergic to. And my man, just make one. Without that, it is pizza, yeah. Baby. Just yeah, make one.
Yeah, it's a circle now, with sauce and cheese, and you don't even honestly need those.
It don't need to be circle. It don't gotta got sauce or cheese. It's the loosest conceptual arrangement of food.
Do you guys ever find yourself like saying some like an opinion or something without thinking about it? And it's a real bold and brassy thing where you're like, oh, I don't care for mustard. Like, I hate mustard. Right. Yeah. And then people are like, oh, man, really? Why? Mm. And then you think about it after you said it and you're like, I mean, I don't hate mustard. I just don't pick. But now you're like locked in and you said it. Is it possible that Ringo Starr was thinking about like he couldn't remember the last time he had pizza?
Hey, and it came out wrong.
Hey, let me help.
Oh, okay. Good.
I'd do it in a second. The fans will dig it. They've waited long enough. I've just got to get the other lads to agree. I think I can convince them.
I'll say, lads, the time has come
to eat our pizza crust first.
Good idea, Ringo.
Yeah. Stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut with cheese, bacon, and you'll want to eat it crust first. Now with free garlic dipping sauce. Wrong, lads. Large is nine.
So, yeah, that's
the fucking
pretty...
wildest thing I've ever seen.
But he doesn't take a bite.
He doesn't take a bite of the pizza.
He doesn't take a bite. That's 100% true. But, like, Ringo, what are you selling me, dude?
What are you selling me? You can't. The whole thing of your commercial can't be, gotta get the lads back together when two of the lads are dead.
Yeah, that's wild to begin with.
At this point, I think just one lad would be dead. But you are right that he was quite dead. He
You're
died
still
a month
not getting...
to the day after I was born, so I know he was dead.
All I'm saying is, if you review the footage, he never takes a bite.
He didn't
of
eat
the
any
pizza.
Of the pizza.
Yeah, Trav, yeah. I 100% agree with that. And I'm not trying to be like, gotcha, you did take a bite. Because this is what Fishboy said in his TikTok too, which is very true. It is him endorsing pizza.
Yeah. Yes. The
as
idea.
A concept. He is saying right. like, pizza's got my seal of approval. Mine, yeah, I love pizza. And now he's telling Jimmy, like, you don't know if pizza's really messed up, I won't eat. Just
what a nasty what a nasty impression that was.
Yes, what a
I
nasty thing to not eat pizza.
A spiteful Griffin, impression, I would say, Justin.
A spiteful, nasty spirit.
Can I
impression.
Say, though, it's normally much more open-hearted, but there's the numbness.
Yeah.
I've lost some of the lip control.
Did he say that he was allergic to things in the pizza? Or just say you don't know what's in there.
The reporting from People magazine is, I've never had a pizza or a curry. I'm allergic to several items. With pizza, you don't know what you're putting in it half the time, or the curry. So I'm pretty strict with myself because it makes me ill immediately.
I fully understand that. I fully get that. But curry is, again, a pretty loose food zone that you
yeah
could.
Man but I could believe that, because the thing is, the pizza that I'm trying to wrap my mind around, the number of times that I have been places or events or hanging out with people and by no action of my own there has pizza suddenly game. Been pizza there and I'm eating it without really thinking about it, and here was a young man who must have done so many, as I believe they're called, gigs at different places in, like, the 60s, too.
People must have been
things.
throwing pizzas at the Beatles.
This is what I'm saying. There must have been so much incidental pizza in the Beatles experience.
Yeah.
That you're telling me at every turn he was consciously avoiding it, even from a young age, to be like, I don't know what shit's in there.
No. Yeah. And listen. He did a lot of drugs with all the other guys, right? The guys did a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
And we're really certain that at no point
Yeah.
Anybody was like, guys, it's 3 a.m., right? I yeah. just got this new thing from the States. They're yeah. calling it pizza.
Wait, Mick Jagger's there?
Yeah, me and Keith love it. You boys got to try it too.
Holy shit.
Hello, it's me, David Bowie. Have you heard of the American invention of pizza? It's quite...
And I'm Andy Warhol. Flat. I love this shit. You gotta eat it.
Well, it's quite luxurious, isn't it?
And listen, I know we got people from all over the spectrum of neurodivergence who listen to and create these programs. And I want to say, I know there's other reasons people avoid food. He didn't fucking say that. He said he's allergic. So I'm saying make pizza without the things that you are allergic to, Ringo. Please, for the love of God. At this point, the man's in his 80s. It's just to keep the streak alive. And I'm saying get one in there, Ringo.
If he puts down a piece of bread... and puts down some sort of alumin-free red sauce on there and like a slice of cheddar, and then he puts that in the toaster oven for
pizza.
A minute and a half on blast, and then takes that out and eats it. Can we say, Ringo, you've done it? You've done it. Now you've had pizza. You've done it.
Yes.
That's all it is.
But okay. Can I make my stance clear here, boys?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
If he had said in this interview... the first time I tried pizza, I had a severe allergic reaction to it, and I've never eaten it again. I would say 100%.
Yeah,
I believe that that's true.
Fool me once, pizza. Shame on you. But
the idea that without ever trying pizza, he's just always had the awareness of like, I will not ever
eat pizza ever.
That's
and it's also, I think, an interesting, if we can send jokes out of the room for a second, I think it's also an interesting example of the role that privilege can play in our lives, right?
Sure.
Because if I had tried to live a pizza-less existence, I wouldn't have made it through the past week without it causing severe strife in my friends and family.
How?
Like, it would have been a major issue, like, almost immediately.
How challenging would life be? If you were like Ringo Starr, and for Ringo Starr, every pizza is a tombstone pizza.
I'm not going to. Let's read another question, because legitimately, we're not going to say anything funnier than that.
We might have never said anything funnier than that.
My D&D group wants to start hanging out outside of campaign sessions, which is great. Problem is they want to do an escape room. All of them are reportedly very good at the activity. Our DM even used to work in an escape room. Brothers, I am terrible at escape rooms. So I guess the thing I'm asking for is escape room hacks to impress my friends. Failing that, how do I keep my cool and have a good time? That's from No Sherlock in New Hampshire. Oh, boy.
You know what's unappreciated in escape room group dynamics?
What's that, Travis?
The hype person.
Mm.
The person
There's a
who's-
lot of it. Yes.
That's a lot of morale management that
Well, because everyone you do an escape room, everybody wants to be the hero. Everybody wants to put the pieces together. Everybody wants to do the final twist of the thing. Having somebody who's like, you're solving the shit out of that puzzle, Derek, would be amazing.
I could never do what you do. No, I wouldn't like that. I need someone to get in there when I get too cranky because I'm stumped, but I don't want a hint.
Oh, somebody who brought Gorp to keep your blood sugar levels up, maybe?
Snacks would be good. Yeah, I'll never say no to that.
I have a kind of a patented escape room system, right? And I would highly recommend it. I do not break the bank, intellectually speaking. And I'm in circles of people that run circles around
me. Wait, sorry. What?
What are you talking about? We all have our strengths, right? I can bake and do what's like whatever. You know, like
and like I'm physically strong and incredibly intelligent
and charismatic
and talented.
Don't forget.
And I'm
good at escape rooms.
And I'm
you're
know
dependable.
When to keep quiet. Oh, that's a huge skill. But anyway, at the escape rooms, I'm not a smart person, so I kind of hang back, right? And I'm watching.
Not a very nice person either.
I was kidding about that, Griffin. You're like super
smart.
Too late. Like, you guys both do a good job.
Cool.
I hang back. I'm like kind of a sniper, and I look like I'm like thinking about all of it.
Yeah.
And then I wait for my moment when something maybe occurs to me, and I don't say anything, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually I'll do like one thing, and it'll seem like, you know what I mean? Like I've just been waiting for it. But the thing is, I'm actually not computing anything that is happening. I'm just kind of like looking at where the action is. And just kind of like being happy that people can figure it out because it's I can't keep up with
that's
it.
That's very good. You could also, if you end up finding a black light, a little black light flashlight, being the black light person.
Oh, that's a good one. Or write down person.
Or write down person, solid. Yeah. Hold the flashlight person. Be the person who goes, did we ever figure out what's going on with this key? Right? Just like keep reminding everybody all the things you haven't figured out yet.
I will tell you guys, honestly, what I spend a lot of time in escape rooms doing is I'm a big organize the props that were already used. I like, like to put them into like used and not used piles. You know, I like to sort the piles. I can do that. I love to sort in piles. You know, I can remember which things we've used and not used.
A lot of places won't tell you this, and but they don't like screen for it or anything. But you can bring some props with you that, if it turns out, is part of the thing. Like, bring a powerful magnet, bring a black light,
a bolt cutters.
Bring some bolt cutters, bring an airsoft gun, bring a compass, bring
a big drill,
a drill like a knife to get out of a place.
Yeah, you know what your own door.
Bring some C4 charges to blow the door.
Bring five cans of different sizes and a container of water.
One thing that I might try is you stand near the door. There's usually a light switch there, right? And a lot of times in these escape rooms, the lights go off and a secret is revealed. So what I would do is wait till halfway through the escape room when no one is thinking about it. Be like, hey, guys, what about this? And then you flip the lights off, right? If there's a secret revealed, brilliant. Uh-huh. Turn the lights back on. Everybody's like, oh my God, how'd you do it? If there's no secret, you just open the door and leave.
Yeah.
When you don't, you're gone, right? The lights are off and you disappear because you can't.
Now there's a new mystery.
Yeah, you're embarrassed. You don't want to stay there, so you leave.
Yeah. You could also try to convince them that they've been in an escape room for a really long time. Longer than they think they have been since they walked in. So you could say, like, you know, you're all trying to stop the bomb from Dr. Blood Knife. And you can be like, everyone's stumped. And you'd be like, guys, I think that we've been in Dr. Blood Knife's hideout since we entered this building. And the person working outside who told us not to smash all the furniture and smash all the lights and absolutely tear all the wires out of the wall was one of Dr. Blood Knife's minion, or perhaps Dr. Blood Knife himself. So we need to start demolishing this place because that was a feint. That was a lie. And it's time for us to get serious about it.
I think the most heartbreaking part of Dr. Blood Knife's backstory is how his intention was to like do good and like work with like Doctors Without Borders and stuff. But then anytime anything evil would happen, they'd be like, well, it must be Blood Knife. His name's Blood Knife. And he's like, that's just my name. That's just a family name.
That's what made him so nasty and made him set up the bomb.
Yeah, eventually he had to be evil because of that.
And you're in an experiment. You are in an experiment of one of Dr. Blood Knife's experiments.
And the way to escape is kindness, to have some faith in humanity and believe that Dr. Blood Knife isn't responsible for it. And that's the real escape is through Jesus Christ.
Wow. And did not expect that turn.
Get him
safe.
Slip the cashier a Twinsky and be like, can I get some Nintendo Power Helpline on escape from Dr. Blood Knife?
The person who breaks the hint kind of barrier, because everybody wants to ask for all the hints all the time, but they don't want to be the person who says, should we get a hint? And being the person who is both strong enough, but willing to appear weak enough to say, like, I think we should get a hint.
Travis, that's so funny you say that. I have never heard someone ask for a hint where the tone is anything other than like, I'm kind of getting a vibe in the room.
Yeah.
Like, we're starting to kind of maybe want to get a hint. Like, no one's ever been like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm way behind. I'm nothing. I got nothing figured out. Tired and cranky.
You could establish yourself as, like, the hint controller and you stand in front of the hint button and you say, if you want a hint, you're going to have to fight me for it. And then people are really going to feel like
the bully of the group.
And then that way people are going to feel
close.
Like, we really need to grind on this. We can't, I don't want to have to fight our friend in order to get the hint.
But what they don't know is you're just leaning back against the button every 10 seconds and then you're whispering out whatever you hear.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, I think it's this guy's. And they're like, whoa, Derek knows everything about this thing.
Yeah.
But you got an inside man.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. And thank you to Justin McElroy today for doing his job, even though he didn't feel like it and he didn't want to do it. His brothers insisted and he did it anyway, because that's what a professional does. That's what a pro does. You're welcome, Doc.
Proud of you.
Thank you again to everybody who came out to Tampa and Jacksonville. We've got more tour dates announced for the 20 Thunder Drive Tour. We're coming to Virginia, North Carolina, Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio.
That's real America.
Yeah. And well, Ohio is where I live. So I have a lot of reference for it, which is nice. All the Adventure Zone shows are going to be different versions of Taz Versus. We just did one down in Tampa and it was an absolute blast. I mean, I was sick, but I still did a great job because I'm a hero too.
Yeah.
That's right.
A lot of bravery.
Tickets are on sale now for those shows. More info and ticket links are available at bit.ly/McElroy Tours. Go get those tickets now and go ahead. We only got like, I think, 2 or 3 packages left for Champions Grove. If you haven't gotten those yet, go to championsgrove.com and get those now.
Got some new merch. We got a Vasecticon hoodie designed by Evan Palmer that I absolutely adore. A hot dog man drains you dry if you know pin from the most recent run of Monster Factory. A bunch of stuff over at macroymerch.com.
You'll like it.
10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Harmony House, which helps to end homelessness in the Huntington area through permanent housing and supportive service programs.
I also want to say something I'm incredibly excited about. We're partnering with Kinship Goods to release a shirt designed by Pepper Raccoon. It's at Pepper Raccoon on Instagram. They are a West Virginia based company who I love very much, and we have many of their things, clothes and stickers and stuff like that. And I had the idea for a shirt celebrating the birth of Huntington. Because Huntington, West Virginia was born when Carlos P. Huntington was given a traffic ticket or a parking ticket for parking his horse in Holderby's Landing. And they said, you got to pay the traffic ticket. And he said, I'm about to like build a whole thing here. And they said, you still have to pay the ticket, man. And he said, fuck you. I'm building my own town. So the shirt is, it says, born of spite.
It's so sick.
It's a sick ass shirt.
Such a sick shirt.
You can go to kinshipgoods.com/McElroy. And go check it out and get it now. Thank you to Kinship Goods for partnering with us and all the amazing stuff that they make that I wear all the time.
Thanks to Montaigne also for the Astro theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a slammer. It's a fucking ripper.
And don't forget, if you have a Faster Than Fear you would like us to read at the end of the episode, email that in with Faster Than Fear in the subject line. Justin.
Do we have one right now,
we
Travis?
We do. Will you read it, please?
Yeah, Travis, I'd be happy to, man. This year, I'm going to stop being afraid of a train chasing me through the woods, like in Wrongfully Accused, a fear that has haunted me for 25 years.
Amazing. So many wonderful things in this world.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me, kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.